got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on? I'm S.L. Jackson, author of the award-winning debut urban fantasy novel Animal Instincts, The Urban Jungle. Animal Instincts, The Urban Jungle is a collection of creative stories based on the lives of animals in an urban underworld jungle. The stories are focused around a family of outlaw rabbits, so get to know these characters, Leaps, Jumps, Mama, Papa, and Groovy, by ordering your copy today at 1sljackson.com. That's 1sljackson.com to order your copy of the award-winning urban fantasy novel Animal Instincts, The Urban Jungle.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. I'm James McDonald here with my host,
Big Steel. And tonight we have a very special guest. We've had him on the show before, a gentleman by the name of Ori Spado.
Hello, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be here again.
Yeah, good to have you back again. Now, recently, Vlad had started some controversy on his show when he had the gentleman Michael Francesi in. And Michael, for those out there that might have saw it, Michael had some rather disparaging remarks about you.
Yes, he did. And if you don't mind, I'll take a moment to correct him.
Yes, sir.
The first thing I'd like to remark about is he said that he told Jack Gilardi to throw me out of the office. Jack Gilardi has been a friend of mine for over 40 years. Now, he did represent Michael Francesi at one period of time. And that ended a few years ago, prior to Jack's dying, when Jack got him a deal and got him $250,000 from a producer. But he took the $250,000, kept it, got another $250,000 from another producer, and went with the other guy. Needless to say, nothing really happened from the whole event anyway. But I want to clear that up, because I was at the Church of Good Shepherd, where they had a service for Jack when he passed away, of which I was invited to. I was invited to Paramount Studio. They had Joe Montana, they had Frankie Avalon, a whole slew of celebrities, and there were several hundred people there. There was no Michael Francesi. So, Michael, get your story straight. I have no objection to anything you say, but you know that I'm going to come back with the truth, Michael. Jack was a very dear friend of mine. He was your friend at one time, too. But no, Jack never threw me out of the office. In fact, I had to throw somebody out of Jack's office for Jack when he called one day. I won't discuss who that person was, but I did throw him out. So I want to correct that. In addition, you know, Jack's son calls me uncle. So where does he come off with this crap? The next thing he says, he said that his father didn't know me. Well, I'm very confused with that there, Michael, because I have an indictment over here, a superseding indictment that I'd like to show you. All right, and the indictment began with a Columbus family. There were initially 14, but then we got severed off. Do you see Michael Francese's name on that indictment?
Do I see his name on there?
You don't see Michael Francese there, do you?
No, I don't see Michael Francese.
You see Sonny Francese, John Sonny.
Yeah, I see John Francese, also known as Sonny Francese.
Right.
John Capolino, known as Johnny Cop, Christopher Karanovic, Joseph DeGorga, Angelo Giangrande, and Orlando Spado, also known as Ori Spado. That's it right there.
No Michael Francese there.
Then the receipts right there. Can I turn this around real quick?
What?
Can I turn this around real quick?
Yeah.
There were the receipts right there. So,
if I didn't know Sonny, why was I in an indictment on? Michael, you should have told your friends at the FBI that I didn't know your father. Maybe I wouldn't have been on that indictment. But, you know, they know you're a liar also.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, James, if I cut you off. But let me ask you this, though. Where does the conflict come from with you and Michael Francese? Like, what is this all about?
No, there, for that there, you're going to have to read my book, The Accidental Gangster. It's in the book. Michael is a bleep in the book. And my book is not about Michael Francese. My book is about Ori Spado and my life. It's not about him. It's not about his stepfather or anybody but me. But it is in my book, and it takes, it's a result of a sit-down that we had at the Russian Tea Room on 57th Street in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Michael proclaims that he was a tough guy and he was a capo. Let's talk about that. Michael was never a street guy. Michael was never a tough guy. Michael was a son. Or his stepson, and let's correct that. He is a stepson of Sonny Francese. Michael's real name at birth was Grillo. Michael was 1.5 years old when Sonny met Christina Capobianco, who worked at the Stork Club in New York. So, yes, Michael is a stepson. He is not full blood of Sonny Francese.
But he had his name changed.
Sonny did adopt him.
That's his
son. For that there, we'll call Sonny his father because Sonny adopted him.
Right.
I give him that credit. On the other hand, I also give Michael credit. Michael's a very smart individual. Now, when he got made, that was only because of Sonny. When he became a couple, it was only because of Sonny. And Michael got very lucky in the gasoline tax business, and he made hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, there's a big difference with Sonny Francese and Michael Francese. The difference is, with Sonny, you make money, Sonny makes money. You could earn with Sonny Francese. Michael Francese, I don't know of anybody, and there's somebody out there that's earned money with Michael, let me know. But Michael, once he takes money, you could virtually count that money being dead because it never appears again. And he don't give anything back.
So by not sharing or giving what you should have, breaking bread or whatever you want to call it, by him being made, he didn't have to worry about nobody bothering him or coming at him?
He had to worry, from my understanding. To this day, Michael's still very concerned. You know, Michael, you're supposed to pull out a picture. He saw his father twice in 32 months when Sonny was in a nursing home. And then on one occasion, Michael didn't go, but he sent his lawyers there to try to get Sonny to sign over Sonny's rights to Michael. Michael was no dummy. I mean, Sonny was no dummy. Sonny was a very smart guy. He threw him out. He didn't sign the rights. You know, you heard me on another podcast. I happen to know the lawyer who put the money in Panama for Michael Franchese. I gave his initials on the Vlad interview because he's still alive. And I don't want to get him involved in anything, but Michael knows who it is. All the people that were around who were to protect Michael Franchese were put there by Sonny. Michael, any work that had to be done, it was Sonny who took care of it, not Michael. I became very close with Sonny, as people know, people in New York know it. I could pick up the phone and I could still call people in New York. Michael can't do that. Michael can't call the people that I talk to. Michael says I didn't know his father. Michael's brother, Johnny, who was Sonny's really real son, became an informant, wore a wire against his father, Sonny, me, and several others. And I have here the court transcript of, and I'll read you part of it here, and then I'll give it. All right, on cross-examination. Mr. Franchese, are you familiar with the individual named Orlando Sparrow? Yes, I am. How do you know him? He was a friend of my father's back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Is he involved in the Colombo crime family? Yes.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's his son.
That's his son. That's his real son on the witness stand in court. So, Michael, get to fucking straight. Can I say fuck?
Yeah, you can say that.
Michael, I must have had over 100 phone calls of people telling me you lie. You lie every time you open your mouth. Your brother Johnny was an addict, became an informant, but I give Johnny a lot more credit. Not that I have any respect for him, but I give Johnny credit because he had the guts to get on a witness stand, point his finger, and talk. You don't have those kind of guts, Michael. Michael, you talk about when you took the oath. I never took the oath. I refused it twice, once on the West Coast, once on the East Coast. But I abided by those rules all my life because I know what they are. You talked about how you were brothers to all these guys, Michael. Here is part of a proffer statement that's been filed, by Michael Franchese. And on this particular proffer statement, Michael, you give the names of Jimmy Angelina, Sally Meschada, Johnny Minerva, Jerry Brown, and Vito Guzzo. That's five names, Michael. You gave the information to the FBI. Five people that got made at the same time that you did. That's a no-no. You want to tell me you're not an informant. Michael, what about John Marshall? Remember John Marshall at the flea market that you had on Long Island? You informed against him. You proffered. Now, for your people who do not know, understand what a proffer agreement is, I'd like to explain it. A proffer agreement is when you have made a deal with the FBI and the U.S. attorney for lesser time and all sorts of deals. They allow you to keep money sometimes. All sorts of deals are made. Once that deal is made, you sit down with the FBI and the U.S. attorney. And it's not like you sit down for 15 minutes. These things can go on for days. Where you have to mention and talk about every single person that you know. So you might say that, you know, I know John Doe, who lives over in Long Beach, and he's a made guy, and John, I hear, deals drugs. What that information does is give the FBI the information to begin an investigation on that individual. And they, when the FBI investigate, they eventually get you. In addition, it was on national TV while Michael did take the stand against Norby Walters. I think you all know Norby Walters. He was very big in the music business.
Wasn't he a sports agent?
Norby Walters, and then he got to be a sports agent in addition, and him and Michael were working together. Michael informed on him in a courtroom in Chicago. In addition, there are over 50 individuals' names that Michael gave to the FBI and the U.S. attorney, telling exactly who everybody was in the Colombo family and other families in the New York area.
So why, when you hear about the mafia, you would say thorough. When you hear he ratted, or I don't like rats, how the mafia put it, why is he still alive? Why haven't...
That's a very good question, James, and allow me to answer that. Once again, his father, Sonny Franchese. Sonny was the underboss of the Colombo crime family, and Sonny was a very powerful individual. Up until the time that, you know, Michael became an informant. And from what I was told, Michael paid off $1 million in cash to a lot of people, five people. Michael was not allowed to go back to New York. And his Michael's mother used to tell me that she used to say, when Sonny dies, Michael will die. She told me that several times. She told other people that there. Tina died shortly after we were all in court in Brooklyn. She died of cancer. Michael, that was Michael's real mother, Tina. She died broke. And from my understanding, they had to bury her in her hospital gown. And while she was dying of cancer, she was calling Michael, Michael, you promised you'd come to see me. Michael never went to see her.
So he never, so...
That was his mother.
So are you saying he never wanted to go see his mother that was passing away?
She was dying. She dying of cancer. He didn't go back.
If you would look at all the things that's going on, Ori, in your life with all of this shit going back and forth and people speaking and dropping dimes on each other, do you think that's one of the reasons why he didn't go back? Because he knows he's in a serious situation.
He knows because he never knows who is going to be that person that might pop up and want to make his bones.
Yeah, so could you understand why he didn't show up?
That could possibly happen.
I mean, like...
And then again, on the other hand, Michael has been doing podcasts and interviews for 25 to 30 years. He has a big Christian. That's a good scam. I got to give him credit there. Now he claims he's a born-again Christian, and he teaches the Bible. But the basic guess is he sells his books when he goes around the country, but not New York City. He'll go to upstate New York. I know wherever he is. Everybody knows where Michael is. Michael is basically a public figure. So to take down a public figure, that could be on the minds of people, too. This is not like in the old days when and Michael, you know, besides your father, I knew Frank Costello, Russell Bufalino, Carlo Marcello, Meyer Lansky. I can go on, Michael, all right? And I could direct dial any one of them anytime I wanted to. I knew all those people before I knew Sonny. But back in those days, this never would have happened. This would have been put away already, and there'd be no discussion about it. But times have changed, and they change much, quite often. You read the proffer agreement, so you understand. This is just one page of several pages of a proffer agreement, which is being held under lock and key, because that information, this leaked out somehow at somebody's trial. And that's how this had come out. And that's how slowly but surely all this information will come out, because that's called discovery, and they have to bring it out when these people go to court or go to trial.
Yeah, we're familiar with discovery. Let me ask you this. You said something earlier. Don't you think it's a possibility he could really be a born-again Christian? Like, why do you say it's a scam?
Because if he was really a born-again Christian, why is he talking about criminal activity all the time? All right, he's supposed to be an expert on it? Mm-hmm. Michael never did no work.
Yeah, I'm not disputing you enough, Ori. I'm just asking that question because I'm pretty sure people out there go have that question and say, well, maybe he did.
Maybe
he
did.
His life of crime, maybe he did turn his life over
to
God.
The reason I don't believe it, because when his sister Gia passed away, Gia also died of an overdose at a hotel in Florida. And Sonny was in St. Petersburg, Virginia at the time, doing time. But the marshals took him to go to the funeral of his daughter. At the same time, a friend of mine named David called me and had a friend who was a limousine driver. One car, I'm not talking about a school car, one car, trying to make a living for his family, and Michael was trying to shake him down. David called me, and it was on the same day they were burying Gia. And I called Michael. Michael still lived on Worcester Boulevard, the Worcester Corridor at the time. I said, Michael, this is Ori. What the hell you think you're doing with this kid? I said, this kid who's with me, lay off him. Ori, we come from the same mold. No, Michael, you broke that mold, Michael. You broke that mold long ago. Stay away from this kid. I says, he's with me. I said, you understand? Yeah, Ori, okay. I says, and Michael, the other thing. I said, you want to talk so much. Why aren't you at the funeral of your sister? They're burying her right now as we're on the phone. Why aren't you there? My sister passed away and went back to New York. I mean, family is supposed to be family. I think Michael, maybe subconsciously, I'm not a psychiatrist, I don't know, because of the fact that he's not blood of Sonny Franchese, that could be a difference. I don't know. I don't have those answers. His brother John, who I've done many things for, he says that I never dealt drugs with John Franchese. Never. John Franchese was a drunkie. There must be maybe, 75 to 100 drug dealers in Los Angeles that I had to go to to keep them away from John Franchese when he lived out here.
You know, speaking of John Franchese, Michael made an accusation on Vlad's show also that he suspects that you may be the one that put his brother on drugs. It's funny that you mention that.
Michael, why don't you give you... Johnny was a drug addict long before he came to California. Michael knows that's a lie. I never...
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Johnny on drugs. Was I ever involved in drugs? Folks, yes, I was. Never cocaine. I did. You know, used to have several hundred pounds of marijuana going to New York every few weeks. Yeah, I admit to that. That was back in early 90s.
Now, with all this going on, man, like this back and forth, like James said, you know, you would have thought, like, just the mafia tradition, they would have took care of the guy, you know, for doing all the things he said. And he also made, and he also refuted something else that you said. He said that his dad never put a hit on you.
His dad never put a hit on me?
Yeah, that's what he
said.
Well,
I also had the court transcripts at home and reference to that, too. All right. Okay? But you know what? Being a man, you had to face out and understand what was the reality and why did Sonny approve a hit on Ori Spadel. It all came from another informant named Guy Fittato, who tapes had over 450 tapes of Sonny Vrangieri. And Michael, Guy Fittato was out here. And Sonny told me he wanted me to introduce him to Johnny. Unknowns to me at that time, he and Johnny already knew each other. They were both confidential informants. I didn't know it. But I had a Jamaican boy that I took care of. His name was Ricky. He got arrested. I was helping him. His wife came to my house with two Mexicans that Mike that he owed $500,000 to. The money was on the streets in Brooklyn. I knew the guys who had the money. I called them up. They said, all right, we already got $100,000. Ricky didn't understand it. You know, we're converting it, and it's going to take longer, but we got $100,000. The informant had the money picked up and sent half to me, and that's all the money I ever saw from it. Later, I found out there was the FBI and Guy Fittato, the informant, that got that money. They collected the rest of the money.
It just sounded to me like everybody was greedy. Everybody had their hands in the cookie jar.
Everybody.
And then when and me and like a lot of other people that watch mafia movies, you just seen, I mean, cold-heartedness, didn't have a problem with killing. They took care of their families. It didn't matter. And this is the impression I was under. It didn't matter if you was my son or not. A rat was a rat. Mm-hmm. And I'm if they come and say, I got to hit you because your son did this and he going to court or yada, yada. Don't you think it's, all of this shit should have been.
You know, you said the magic word, James.
What's that?
All right. Movies. What you see in the movies and what's real life are two different things.
Right.
Okay. The movies, they got to make things, and there's an old saying in Hollywood, they got to make a film the middle of America's going to watch.
Right.
All right? And so you have all those things, it's all creative stuff by writers, very good writers that come up with that stuff. You know, Nick Pileggi is a dear friend of mine, and he did Goodfellas, Casino, and, you know, he and I have had a lot of conversations on how, you know, all the conversations he had with Rosenthal for Casino and Henry Hill for Goodfellas. And, you know, they got to take that there. And sometimes there's a book. They got to take the book. And now you got to create a film about it. You got to take something that might be a boring subject, and you got to create that lure, a lure of killings and hits and all this here. But getting back to where Sonny approved to have me whacked, this informant went back to New York, told Michael Carapano, who was an acting captain of the Colombo family, who happened to be Sonny's nephew, that they're going to make all this money with Ori. Now, all of a sudden, it's Ori that's going to be doing 50 kilos every couple of weeks under New York. And they're going back, and he's telling Michael Carapano all the money that they're going to make with Ori. Of course, every time he's talking, it's on tape. So Michael Carapano, after a time, is getting nervous, saying, where is this money that we're supposed to be making with Ori? And Guy Fattato, the informant, says, you know, I think Corey's been doing the deal, and he's screwing us out of the money. Michael went to Sonny, and Sonny gave him permission to wipe me. Mm. Of course, I'm still here. And my last words with Sonny while in prison was in the courtroom, because Sonny was out on bail. I didn't get bail. Sonny was out on bail, and he walked in the courtroom. He said, hey, buddy, I hear you're upset with me. Now he's standing in front of me. I'm already sitting down at the table with the other court defendant. I said, nah, I'm not upset with you, buddy. Why, just because you gave permission to wag me? I said, what I'm upset with you, buddy, for is the fact that you used to call me and ask me to come into New York to have dinner. But you never called me to ask me what's really going on here. Which could have, if anybody were to, would have jeopardized my life. Quite obviously, that situation was resolved. Ultimately, what occurred, Michael Cotopano never called me, and I never discussed things with Michael Cotopano. If I discussed anything in the Colombo crime family with anybody, it was only one person, Sonny Franchese.
So that's why they called the hit off?
Yeah.
So that was you was a lucky man at that point, huh?
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Michael Cotopano ended up getting indicted on a cocaine conspiracy. He got 78 months.
But don't somebody else pick up the hit if this person is out of commission to do it?
Because you're not going to whack a guy who did nothing.
Right.
There was no reason. I didn't do nothing. I wasn't doing that cocaine thing. If I was doing that cocaine thing, I'd still be in freaking prison.
Let me ask you this. How do you prepare for, you know, somebody want to take your life. You know somebody could be, come from any side of the building, from around the corner, jump out a tree or whatever at you. How do you prepare for that?
Well, you know, as a young kid, a Marine, Tom McCurry, he taught me how to always know my surroundings. And to this day, as I walk, as I drive, I know what's behind a tree. And I don't just look behind a tree. You got to follow because somebody, you could be walking down the street, a guy behind a tree. But he could walk around that tree while you're walking by and come up behind you. So you got to be aware of those things. And you got to watch out. It's just a natural instinct that you eventually develop.
I'm talking about like sleep. Did you lose a lot of sleep? I'm talking about, because I've been in situations where I couldn't sleep. I'm always looking out the window like, damn, I got to do this though. And you're just so pumped up because you know at any given time something can happen.
Well, you know, I did not do anything that deserved being whacked. I never was concerned about it. I confronted Michael Cotopano in prison. And I'll tell you how that occurred and what happened there, okay?
Right.
Because he's the one who went to ask for permission. Now, you understand. Sonny took his nephew, Michael Cotopano's word that I was robbing money. Michael never called Lori Schrader. So Michael and I, there's not one tape of me and Michael Cotopano discussing drugs.
So that's your big issue.
But yet, we were the only two on a drug conspiracy. And then on the last superseding indictment that I just showed you, there was only one change amongst everybody on that indictment. That was Ori Spado. Because initially, they indicted me for 5 kilos of cocaine. On the last superseding indictment, they increased it to the 50. Now, you know, James, where would I be if I went to trial on that there? I definitely would lose no matter what, even though it wasn't a real deal. I never had no intention because these Mexicans had to be paid back their $500,000 before they were going to give anything to anybody else on credit.
Right.
I mean, 50 kilos, even though they was a whole lot of money. And do you think they're going to give 50 kilos on credit for you to bring back to New York?
It seems like a whole bunch of betrayal and just a whole bunch of just stuff going on.
There was more betrayal, and there was more betrayal and cunningness. There was an awful lot around Sonny Franchet. And Michael Franchet said, there's a video out there about me, and he thinks that I was a rat. I'd like to address that video. That video was also made by another informant, but it goes by the name of Kenji Gallo. His real name is Kenny Kaneko. He robbed the tape out of Jimmy Cacci's home because I was taping the FBI. Anybody listen to that tape, you see that I'm the one doing the recording. That was a fatal mistake that I did. That's the reason, if you want to really get down to it, why I ended up on that Colombo crime family indictment. Because they only need two predicate acts to get you. I am responsible for the agent. His initials are SG. Getting demoted from the FBI Organized Crime Task Force. And they put him on the fugitive squad. But honestly, he owes me a favor because he got a nod of notoriety. Today, he's the head of the fugitive squad. And he's the guy that they give credit for getting Whitey Bulger.
Oh, wow. So, Ori.
No, I want to finish something. Michael, I know for a fact.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That agent along with Michael Wax, Andy Stefanik, Piranhas, and a few others, used to go to your home and have dinner. I never had an FBI agent in my home having dinner with me, Michael. You're the only person that I know. How do I know that information? Because you invited your brother to the house, and your brother used to tell me everything. So, after tonight, I want to leave Michael Frances alone. I don't want nothing to do with him because he is not worth my time.
And I was
but Michael, if you want to meet me and you want to have a joint interview, I am more than willing to do it. We will pick any social club in Brooklyn. I think that would be a great place, Michael. Would you like to come to Brooklyn with me, Michael?
If you do it in Brooklyn, let Digital Soapbox do it. Don't do it with nobody else. I got people in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Well, I already got Digital Soapbox to do it.
My people go up there and get that done.
Wait, you're not the Gangster Chronicles?
Yeah, we the Gangster Chronicles. Yeah, the Gangster Chronicles. We had the Gangster Chronicles. We have it done in New York.
Okay. Michael ain't going to come to a social club in New York.
What if you do, though?
Oh, great. Then I'll do it.
I look at it like this. Plain, simple, and uncut. Y'all guys are way older than us. And y'all, this was a long, long time ago, right?
What, this great case here?
The whole, yeah.
Huh?
During the time.
During the time, 2008, yeah.
Okay.
That was
10 years. Everybody got
2010.
12 years. And just like you said, let's just put it away. I'm done. I'm not going to give you the credit. I'm not finna speak on you no more. Don't you think it's time to just say, I ain't got time for this shit no more?
Yeah, because I got bigger things on my plate right now than Michael Frances.
So it just
Michael
like, Frances it pissed you off.
No burger to me.
A no burger?
A no burger. Michael Frances was never anybody except for the fact that he was the stepson of Sonny Frances. That's it. In his own life, he used the name Sonny. Look at it in his book. If you read his first book, there's only one good chapter in that book, and that's the chapter where he talks about Sonny.
I didn't read none of it. I grew up watching the Mafia and all these big names on off of TV.
Yeah.
And I kind of like. I'm enthused. I was just like, man, they straight killers. I love that type of shit.
It was like that years ago.
Then you sit at the table, and all my heroes are crushed because they all like in jail from putting each other in jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, going back and forth, warring with each other over 12 years, something that happened 12 years. I'm like, man,
but you understand that we're talking about something that Michael Frances was never involved in. Michael's right.
But see, if he never involved in
any of this. He was not involved with
me and Sonny. What his name come from?
All right.
Just because he was the son.
Well, it's coming up because he's the son, and he has a lot of viewers. I give him credit. He's been doing this for 30 years. I've been doing it for 8 months. So, you know, Vlad's got 4 million subscribers. So, it's got a lot of views for Vlad.
Right.
I mean, just mine alone, Vlad got over 500,000. Just that one thing about Michael. You know, I want to discuss my book.
Oh, well, yeah, we go get to your book. But you know what? You caused a lot of controversy last time, man, because, you know, when you talked about the guy Haitian Jack,
another guy.
He called one of the guys that was on the show and had some words for us. He had some words for you. He said he was going to come out here and smash you.
Well, Jack, I'm here. If you don't have the money, I'll buy you a ticket. But I'm sure Akon and Wycliffe will buy you one. Okay? Because they're still paying you off, Jack, for whatever reason. I'm not worried about Jack, Michael. These people really are nothing in my life. Right. Haitian Jack was another individual I tried to help. I did not know he was an informant. And then, you know, when everybody found out, I'm the guy in Los Angeles that took all the fucking heat from all the guys because J. Jack was using my name out here.
Oh, you say he was an informant?
Yeah.
Oh, well, who did Haitian Jack tell him?
I had no idea. I mean, I wasn't involved. They said stuff in New York. So he was working for the FBI.
Okay. So it was back in New York then?
I don't know where it was. It could have been out here. He tried to get close to a lot of people out here. But people didn't trust him.
Yeah, it caused a whole bunch. He was pretty upset last time. He was pretty upset. He said, Ori Spader didn't run me out of nowhere.
Yeah, okay, Jack.
Okay. What's going on with your book?
My book is doing very well. I've had a lot of interest from Hollywood. A lot of producers have approached me. I'm having a major phone call this Friday. Mm-hmm. With an award-winning producer-director. Knowing Hollywood the way I do, I'm very selective when who I'm just not going to give my option or my rights to anybody. I know how long it takes. I'm still active in a few other films. I have another film coming out. Oh, it's not coming out yet, but it's in the process. I secured a deal for world boxing kickboxer that won it in Japan. It's got a gangster in him. It's got everything that you want, all the elements of a good story. I got the people retaining the writer who I manage. And we got a couple other films that are in the works. And, you know, Hollywood. It's like the army. Hurry up and get there when you get there late.
Yeah, for sure. So where can people, because I know the book has been, I've been seeing you everywhere. You've been on a couple of promo tours. Where can people purchase the book at?
They could purchase it on Amazon, obviously. If they'd like an autographed copy, they can go to my website, www.theaccidentalgangster.com. They can order from Barnes & Noble, Google, all the other platforms, from my understanding.
Man, that's been great, man. Before we leave, man, is there anything that you want to say to Sonny Francisi that you ever haven't said since this is the last time you said y'all going back and forth over this, man?
Sonny Francisi passed away.
Not Sonny. Okay, let's do that over
again. And I talked to Sonny a week before he passed away. I was talking to Sonny on a weekly basis. And you know what hurts? I called Sonny because Sonny wanted me to go back there, but Sonny, he died on paper. He was still on paper. And I wanted to go visit him, but I was not going to be the person responsible for him to be violated. So I called his probation officer, who happened to be a very nice lady out in Long Island. And she said, Mr. Spare, I'm going to talk to my supervisor. I said, look, he's 103 years old. I'm 75. We ain't doing nothing. Okay? I said, he's just an old friend. I know him over 40 years. And just go and, you know, have a lunch. And she called me up the next day. She talked to her supervisor. And because of the fact that Sonny and I have been friends for over 40 years, and we were on the same indictment, they told me to wait until June. Quite obviously, June is here, but Sonny is not.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you got any last words for Michael and everybody out there that's rocking with Michael, what you got to tell him?
Michael, look, you know, I don't know what your beef is with me, but I'm going to back everything I say up with facts. And, you know, it's what you come at me with bullshit and lies. Michael, I never reached out to you for anything. And I never would. I have no reason. But you reached out to me. Remember, Michael, you reached out to me when you got out of prison because you were paranoid about any strangers coming into town. Remember, Michael, we had a meeting. I took you in the alley behind the Rangoon Racquet Club on Santa Monica Boulevard. And I told you, Michael, then, if your father asked me to do it, I'll do it. Because you were asking me to let you know when any strangers flew into town. I'm not a travel agent. But if Sonny would have told, and you know what Sonny's words were? Because Sonny called me every week from prison, every prison that he was in. Sonny says, don't do a damn thing. Michael, you didn't take care of your mother, your brother, your sisters, with all that money that you stole, that you made, you got it hidden. You left your first wife and children. They had to go on welfare and food stamps. Michael, which build a pair of balls, get some character, become a man, start taking care. I don't want nothing from you, but take care of your family the right way, Michael. Start bragging about that you were a couple. You were a couple for only one reason. Your father, John Sonny Franchese. That's it, Michael. I don't want to mention your word. If you got a serious beef with me, call me. You got my number. I ain't calling you, Michael, because I don't call. That's it, folks. Could we leave Michael Franchese alone and dead and buried where he should be?
I would say that would be the best thing. I wouldn't do a Vlad interview on it. I wouldn't do a Gangsta Chronicles interview on it no more. I think, you know, how old is Michael, by the way?
Michael's a few years younger than me. I think he maybe, really, I don't know, maybe 60. I'm 75.
Yeah, this. So,
Michael's in his 60s.
Let's live with life we have left in a positive, on a positive note, and we don't have to go back and forth tearing each other down over a situation. You over here, he's over there. Like you said, it's over and done, and Gangsta Chronicles is done with the Michael conversation.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.